All right, we're beginning here at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet, the last line in the Gemara. The Gemara here is discussing the question that was raised by Ishmael Ish Kfar Yama or Ishmael Ish Kfar Dima with regards to Gidulim and Ikar. Ikar, that is, Ikar Shel Isur because it came out of Shviyit, and Gidulim that grew in Shminit, which are Shel Heter. And the question is, Kevin Derabu Gidulav Mi Ikaro, since the now growth has exceeded the amount of the ikar, otan gidule heter malina te isur lo. To the growth of heter, does that override mivatel the ikar? The ikar is the fact that you planting something that has a bulb or something that is part and parcel of the isur that you plant and remains intact even when the thing grows afterwards. So that ikar, what is its relationship to the heter? And yesterday we saw the question according to the different rishonim is exactly what the nature of the question is. Depending like Duran, who wants to know whether the Gidulim are Shel Heter or not Shel Heter. The other Rishonim, who think that is Gidulim, are definitely Shel Heter, just a question if they are Mivatelet. And we saw that the Rosh discusses the issue of whether there's really Irbuv here. Do they really mix together? Are they considered to be independent entities? Just like the Ikar is not Mivatel the Gidulim. Maybe the Gidulim are not Mivatel the Ikar, or maybe the Gidulim are exceptional because they grow. And by the fact that they grow, they're exceptional. So again, we saw that yesterday's daf, that was the question that was posed. What we then saw was a number of memrot brought by the Amoraim that tried to resolve this issue by quoting these different memrot. And the Gemara is going back and forth between these memrot. We rejected the last proof that we brought because we said maybe by the case there, it was the Chumrah, that was just the Chumrah, it wasn't the Din Mikar Adin. Ela min hadah. We're going to learn it out from here. D'tanyo, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, anything that is a davar sheyesh lo matirin, something that will become heter in the long run, kagon, what are examples of a davar sheyesh lo matirin? Tevel, umaser sheni, vehegdesh, vechadash. So tevel has a din of heter because you can be metakein the tevel. You can actually separate out the trumot and masrot. And even if it gets mixed up in something else, you can be mafrish the trumot and masrot from something, another item that's chayav, or another item that's tevel, you can be mafrish the trumot and masrot, and you can be matir the tevel that's there, that's combined inside of the chulin, and therefore it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. Maser sheni and hekdesh, maser sheni, one possibility is that you bring it up to Yerushalayim. So even if it's mixed up with chulin, if you bring it up to Yerushalayim, then it becomes heter, or a common thing between Hekdesh and Maser Sheni is that they're both redeemable. And since they're redeemable, you could remove the problem of the Isur by redeeming it. V'chadash, you just have to wait until the Omer, or when there's no Omer, until Heri Mizrach, until the sun rises on the 16th, then the din of Hekdesh disappears. So these are all things that have Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirim, things that will eventually become Shel Heter. Lo Natnu Behen Chachamim Shiur. The Chachamim did not give any shi'ur. By these items, they gave no shi'ur because we know davar sheyesh lo matirim enu batel afilu be'elef. That there's no bitul when it comes to davar sheyesh lo matirin. This we saw back on daf nun bet by the Mishnah over there that the Rishonim discussed the fact that it's only true by min b'mino. It's only true by min b'mino. Do we say davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel at all? But the min she'eno mino, over there we saw that it's batel b'notein tam, it's batel b'shishim. So most of the Rishonim explained that over here we're talking about min b'mino, and it's a koshu, and that's why these it's a davar she'esh lo matirin, and it's a problem. And that's why, lo natabahen b'chalamim shiur, because there's no bitul over here. We discussed the Ran Shita versus Rashi Shita. Rashi Shita by davar she'esh lo matirin is just wait. Because why not just eat a behet there if you can? Why eat a beis or if you can eat a behet there? The Ran Shita, on the other hand, is that you need opposites in order to be mevatel. You need contrasting items. And by the mere fact that it's min she'eno mino plus it's isur behet there, that's enough to be make a bitul. Min b'mino, there's not enough contrast there because the physical properties of the item are the same, and the isur behet there is not so far apart because even the isur will eventually be behet there. And therefore, there's no bitul, and that's why it doesn't work by davar sheyesh lo matirin. We discussed the difference in their views of bitul, possibly, that leads to this shita about why by davar sheyesh lo matirin there's no bitul. So here we have these four items. Tevel, Maser Sheni, Hekdesh, and Chadash, all Dovar Sheish Metayim, and therefore they have no Shiur. Tosafot over here notes that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah actually says the reason that Tevel is not Batel is because Hetero Kachisuro. The way that you're matir it is the same way that it becomes a sur. So how are you mitakein tevel? You mitakein tevel by taking off a chita achat. Because truma, which makes the tevel ois tevel, that truma, you can be poter be chita achat, poter te takri. So since one little kernel can be matir the tevel, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, ke hetero kach isuro. Just like by the heter, one single chita will take care of it to be matir it. So to be isuro, the tevel will make things asur, even be kol shuhu. And that's the reason why Tevel is not Batel. So Tosafot wants to understand how come our Gemara says the reason Tevel is not Batel is because it's Davar Sheish Lo Matin. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says the reason that it's not Batel is because it's Ki Hetero Kach Isuro. So Tosafot creates an Ukimta to try to solve the problem. And he says that Veish Lomar Dahatam. In the case of Avodah Zarah, Tevel Shalchu Bala the Midinat Ayam. The case where the owners went overseas. Dein Lo Mid Yitiro. We don't have anybody there to be matirit. So he creates a case where it's not a davar sheish lo matirin because we got rid of the person that could make it into heter, and that's the Baal. The Baal's not present. He's not around. So now we don't have an option or to say that it's davar sheish lo matirin. It's somewhat of a difficult answer because davar sheish matirin never has a time frame necessarily around it. It's just when the Baal shows up, he'll make it into heter. But Tosafot seems to say that it has to be something more immediate in order for it to be considered davar sheish lo matirin. Therefore, if Baal is absent, then Davar Sheish Lo Matirin is not a factor. And the reason that Tevel makes something Asur Bekoshu is because of the din of Getero Kach Isuro. A different way to deal with that problem, which actually makes a lot of sense, is that Tevel means different things in different places. Tevel just means that whatever item you have there has something else mixed in with it that needs to be mufrash, that needs to be separated. So in general, if you have Tevel, Tevel requires Truma to be taken off of it, requires Maser to be taken off of it, requires Maser Sheni or Maser Ani to be taken off of it. So all of these items make it into Tevel. If it's Tevel the Truma, then you could have the din of Ketero Kachisuro. Because Truma, the heter through Truma, or makes it no longer Tevel, is you take off the one Chita. Then when you're talking about Maser, or even Trumat Maser or Maser Sheni, where there's a fixed amount, it's 10%, then it's a much larger number, and you can't say Ketero Kachisiro. So the answer might be that we're talking about different types of Tevel. The Tevel in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is Tevel Lichuma. Since it's Tevel Lichuma, Ketero Kachisiro. Over here, we're talking about something that's not Tevel Lichuma necessarily, but it's Tevel for Maser, or Maser Sheni, or it's Tevel for Trumat Maser. And so because of that, it doesn't have the din of Ketero Kachisiro. And that's why we have to invoke the principle of Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. That's a different way to deal with reconciling that Gemara in Avodah Zarah with the Gemara here. That makes a lot of sense because the differentiation in Tevel has to do with the nature of the item that you have to be mafrish from it. So if it's a Davar that you're mafrish kosho, or is it a Davar that you're mafrish a fixed amount from it. And based on that, that will reconcile the Gemara in Avodah Zarah with our Gemara over here. All right, so now the Braita gives a second series of items. Things that do not have a heter mean that they are permanently beisuran. Kigon truma utrumat maser v'chala v'orla v'kilei akerem natnu behem chachamim shiur. Over there, the chachamim gave a shiur for bito. So truma, trumat maser, and chala is 100 to 1. Orla and kilei akerem are 200 to 1. So there is bito over there because these are dvarim shein lo matirim. These are things that never become heter. Orla and kilei akerem are things that are permanently asur. Once they become asur, there's nothing that can remove the isur from them. Truma, trumat maser v'chala, which are all subsets of truma, over there, once you make it into truma, you can't reverse it, and therefore it's a dvar shein lo matirim. Now that's not really true, because hafashat truma is similar to a neder, and a person can actually be matir their hafashat truma, they go to the chacham, just like their matir and neder, the separation out of the truma is equivalent to a neder, and you can actually get hatara to remove the truma, or the trumat maser or the chala. So that should be a davar sheish lo matirim. The Gemara later on will discuss that difference between nidarim and the case of Chuma and Chumat Maser, and the key difference is the obligation to be Matir Neder. When it comes to a Neder, there's an obligation to be Matir Neder, therefore it's deemed to be a Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. On the other hand, Chuma, Chumat Maser, and Chala, you're not required to do Hatara. We actually prefer if you don't do a Hatara. It happens to be an option that if necessary, you can do a Hatara. But since it's not something that we would compel you to do, or we would not encourage you to do it, therefore it's not deemed or considered to be a Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. But since all these items are Dvarim Asurim, the Chachamim gave us a Shi'ur in terms of their Bitul. Amrulo, so they say to Rabbi Shimon, Balo Shvi'it Ein La Matirin. What about Shvi'it? Shvi'it has no Matir. Once somebody becomes Asur B'Shvi'it, then there's no Heter. Balo Natnu B'Chachamim Shi'ur. And yet, there is no Shi'ur by Shvi'it. It's none. We have a Mishnah in Shvi'it. A Shvi'it Oseret Kolshu B'mina. And B'min B'mino, the Shvi'it, something that's Asur B'Shvi'it, is Oser other things, even B'Kolshu. Now, if it's Davar She'en Lo Matirin, the way that Rabbi Shimon sets up this structurally, that means it should be something that the Chachamim gave a Shi'ur for Bitul. How come there's no Shi'ur Bitul over here? Koshu makes it a Sur. Why should that be the case? Amar Lahen. So Rabbi Shimon says back to them, Af ani lo amarti ela le bi'ur. I only meant it with regards to Bi'ur. Aval achila benotein tam. When it comes to achila, then it is benotein tam. So now there's a difference between the Bi'ur or the achila over here. We know that Bi'ur is when the Chayata Sadeh can no longer find the fruits or the vegetables that are from the Shvi'it in the field. Then when the Chaya or the Behemah no longer has access to that item in the field, then you have an obligation for all of that item that's found in your house to do Bi'ur. It's called Bi'ur Perot Shvi'it. Now Bi'ur Perot Shvi'it, Machloket Rishonim, as to how do you accomplish it. According to the Ramban, you accomplish it by being Mafkirit. You make it Hefker. And then you can reacquire it, or then you can eat it, and you can utilize it afterwards. So Hefker is the way to rid yourself of the problem of Biur. On the other hand, the Rambam believes that Biur is literally the way to perform Biur is to destroy, to burn, to get rid of this item completely. So now, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is that there's a difference between Biur and Achila. And he says, with regards to Achila, I agree that there is Bitul. And there's Bitul Benotein Tam. Another thing, with regards to the Biur, there is no Bitul, and it's a Sur Bikoshu. So according to the Ramban, it's easy to explain, because Biur Perut Shvit is Yeshla Matirin. It's very easy. You could be Matir Biur from Perut Shvit. If Perut Shvit pass through the Zvana Biur, and they become a Surim, we're not going to tell you to be Mavatil them, because you can just do Biur. What do? Biur? You Mafkir them. If you Mafkir them, and then you acquire them afterwards, you have a way to get Heter here. So Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. So the Biur or the Perot that are Chayav in Biur are Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, and therefore they're Oser B'Koshu. On the other hand, when it comes to the Achila, the way that they explain it is that what it means by the Biur means that's Shishit going into the Shvi'it. It's a Shishit item that then grew in the Shvi'it, and it's Oser B'Koshu because the addition of the growth of the Shvi'it. So over there I say that it's Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, because I can eat it now during the Shvi'it, according to the Ran. According to others, I can eat it after the Bi'ur, so it's a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. So based on that, it's Oser B'Koshu. On the other hand, if we're talking about something that grew in the Shvi'it, Bi'isur, and then you're adding on Heter by the Shminit in the 8th year, that is not a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, because there's no Heter for this Isur. This is something that grew Bi'isur and Shvi'it. It's not just have Kedusha Shvi'it. It doesn't just have the Kedusha Shvi'it, which will lead to an Isur of Zvana Bi'ur. But rather, it's something that is Asur the Gamre, Svichin, or something that was planted on Shvi'it. So that's Isur the Gamre. And then when you talk about being Mevatel that with Heter, there is no Davar Sheish Lo Matirim over here. And therefore, if the Heter exceeds the Isur Benotein Tam, it would be Mutar. Because that's not a Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. And since it's a Davar that does not have Matirin, therefore the Perot Shvi'it that are mixed up with other Perot, we will say that they are a Batel Benotein Tam. Again, for the Ramban, it's easy to understand why Perot Shvi'it or Davar Sheish Lo Matirin is because you can just have care and you be material. According to the Rambam, who says that Biur is Sreifa, then why is the Davar Sheish Lo Matirin? So the Ran explains over here, that's because you could just eat it. You could eat it before the Zman of Biur. If you eat it before the Zman of Biur, then it's Heter. And you don't have to worry about it. So that's why it's called Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. And if the Davar Sheish Lo Matirin, that's why it's Asur B'Koshu. That's how the Ran explains what's happening here. But when it comes to Achila, Achila is only a bit notain tam. So in the end, Rabbi Shimon differentiates between Perot Shviyot in the instance where they are Davar Sheish Lo Mativin. It's not Batel because it's Asur B'Koshul. Because before Zman HaBiur, it's Mutar B'Achila. After Zman HaBiur, it's Asur B'Achila. That means before Biur, it's Asur B'Koshul. After the Biur, it'll only be Asur B'Notein Tam. Because after the Biur, it's not a Davar Sheish Lo Mativin. Before the Biur, it is a Davar Sheish Lo Mativin. All right. So now, the Gemara asked a question, and it's not clear here with why this is a proof to what we're looking for. Our discussion is a discussion about Ikar and Gidulim. This Braita that we just brought a discussion between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, where clearly Rabbi Shimon says that you have items that when they are mixed together, Tarovet, Shel Shvi'it, with non-Shvi'it, is Asur B'Kosho. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. So now, what is the circumstance in which you are Asur B'Kosho? You easily could have explained this Braita as speaking about a case where it's Tarovet. It's a mixture of fruits that were from the Shvi'it, and a mixture of fruits that are from the Shminit, or the other way around, Shvi'it and Shishit. So you have Heter fruits together with fruits that are Asurim. And the Koshu that's Asur is in this Tarovet. Who says that we're talking about a case of Ikar and Gidulim? That is not clear from this Braita. And that's what the Rishonim argue about over here. How do you know, or what is this Isur that we're talking about here that is a Koshu? And in a sense, it has nothing to do with the topic that we are speaking about. So some suggest that the statement, just like by Tarovet, this is the din, so too, the din will be the same with regards to Gidulim. So if you have a batzal shel shishit, you have an onion that was from the sixth year, and then it continues to grow, it grows in the Shvi'it, and the Gidulim grow in the Shvi'it, and now it becomes Chayav in Biur. So now you have the Gidulei Shvi'it that are Mevatel, the Heter Shel Ikar. They wipe out the Heter, the Ikar that is Heter, because of the Gidulim of Shvi'it. So the Gidulim of Shvi'it overcome or override the Ikar of Shishit. And from here you would conclude that the Gidulim have the power to override the Ikar. So too, by the case of Rabbi Shmuel Ishkvar Yamo, you would say the same thing, that the Gidulei Heter overcome the Ikar of Isur. Now that just assumes that just like by Tarovet this is the din, so too is the din with regards to an Ikar and Gidulim that are planted. How you make that leap or why that's the case is not clear here, but some of the Rishonim just explain it that way. You can see them explaining that just like this is true by Tarovet, so too this would be true by Ikar and Gidulim. There are those that suggest that the reason you would say that is because the Braita speaks in a case of Stam. It speaks about any case of Tarovet. And since it takes about any case of Tarovet, Tarovet can come about in different ways. You can have Tarovet, which is you have fruits from Shishit and fruits from Shvi'it that get mixed. You also can have a Tarovet because they grew together. And since the item grew, there was an Ikar of Shishit, and then there is Gidulim of Shishvi'it. That's also a case of Tarovet. The fact that the Braita doesn't differentiate in those cases means that it makes its statement irrespective of how the Tarovet came about. And since it's irrespective of how the Tarovet came about, we could even explain it in a case where we're talking about an Ikar of Heter and Gidulim of Isur. And that's how they make this leap from the case that we bring, which seems to be talking about Tarovet, to our case of Ikar and Gidulim. Right, based on the sheet of the Rosh that we saw yesterday, that when it comes to Tarovet, he asked the question of whether there's really bitul over here or there's no bitul over here. I mean, are the Gidulim separate from the Ikar or not separate from the Ikar? And what you could see over here is the fact that Isur Koshu creates a problem that shows you that the Gidulim have an independent status from the Ikar. If they have an independent status of the Ikar, then there is no Tarovet, there is no bitul. And because of that, that little piece of Isur is able to create a problem for the whole item that's here. So then, if that's the case, that the Gidulim are not considered to be part and parcel of the Ikar and not Mevatelin Alav, then also, you can also conclude the other way around. That if it was an Ikar Visur, it's not Mitbatel, the Gidulei Heter. The Gidulei Heter would not override the Isur over here. So that's the way that, according to that sheet of the Rosh that we're talking about, is there really a Tarovet over here? The answer is no, because we see that an Isur Koshu of Shvi'it ruins it. That means that the Gidulim of Shvi'it have an independent status from the Ikar. They have an independent status from the Ikar. Then they're not Batel. The same is true in reverse, which is that if the Ikar was Shelisur and the Gidulim of Heter, they would not be Bavatel, the Ikar. That's another way to come to this conclusion over here. Gemara's answer is along the lines of what you said over here. The Dilma Ha Nami L'Chumra Shiny. The same answer that we gave in yesterday's daf, the Chumra Shiny. So to over here, we say the Chumra is shiny. It's different over here, it's the Chumra. Now, why is it the Chumra over here? Didn't the Gemara already use this answer in the previous case? And why isn't the Gemara aware of the fact that when we do things the Chumra, the Isur, that we might say things are Asur, even though they're really Mutar? And so the Gemara's answer over here, the Chumra, should have been obvious. So the Ron explains that over here, it's a double Chumra. It's a double Chumra because, number one, we're saying Biur is a Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. So that's already a Chumra, to say that Biur is considered to be a Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. Number two is that we're saying over here that the Gidulim are separate from the Ikar, and they're not considered to be Heter just because they came out of an Ikar Shel Heter. And in addition to that, they're Oser B'Kol Shehu. So you have a double Chumra over here. So maybe the Gemara suggests that maybe in that case we wouldn't say that the Chumra shiny, because it's already like layers and layers of Chumrot. If already it's Mi'ikar Din, then I would understand it. But here, when you're going to say it's a Chumra on top of a Chumra, maybe that won't be the case. The Gemara's answer is it is a Chumra. Over here, it's still considered to be a Chumra. So now the Gemara brings Ela Minada Pashto. Let's find an answer from this Mishnah, the Tanan. Bitzalim she'ardu aleihem gishamim. You had onions that were rained on. Bitzimchu, and they started to grow. Imayu alim shalem shchorim. If their leaves are black, asurim, then they are asur. Horiku, if they are green, mutarim, then they are mutar. Now whether shchorim means really black and horiku means really green, it could be that we're talking about shades of green over here. That shchorim means dark green and horiku means light green. That's very possible, not just black and green. But the key difference over here, as mentioned by the Rishonim, is that when a onion grows from the ground, and it's a healthy onion growing from the ground, the leaves are either black or dark green. On the other hand, if the onion grows not because it's planted in the ground, but because it continues to grow on its own, then the leaves grow, they're either a lighter green or they're a green, and that's how you know how it grew. So the case here is a case where he seemingly picked the onions on Shishit, and then he re-puts them into the ground to be shomer them. He stores them in the ground in the interim, and it goes into the Shvi'it. It rains now on Shvi'it, and the onions, the leaves from the onions grow. So now we want to understand, the fact that the onions grew, is that just simply because the onions continue to grow on their own, and they are drawing sustenance from themselves? Or are they growing because of their connection to the ground? The difference would be, if they're connected to the ground, then we would be adding on Isur, because they're growing during Shvi'it. On the other hand, if they grew because of their own, then these are Shishit onions, and they continue to be Shishit onions. So what the Tanakhama says is if they have dark leaves, then you know they're drawing sustenance from the ground, they're growing from the ground, and now you add it on Isur of Shvi'it, and they're Asurim. On the other hand, if the leaves remain either a light green or a green, then you know that they are self-sustaining, meaning that they're just growing because they're expanding themselves, but not because they are really rooting or taking root in the ground. Rabbi Hanani ben Antigonus Omer, Im Yocholim Litalesh, Ba'alim Shelahen, if you can pull them out of the ground with their leaves, Asurim, because that tells you how healthy the leaves are, because they're still strongly attached to the onion. And if you can lift them out by the leaves, that shows you that they're still growing. Ukenegdan, the Motzei Shvi'it. And the opposite will be true with regards to Motzei Shvi'it, that they are Mutarim. So now you have here, Rabbi Hanania ben Antigonus argues on the Tanakhama. It's not clear if he's really arguing on the Tanakhama. Is giving a different method for making the same determination as the Tanakhama. Tanakhama gives you one to make the determination. Rabbi Hanania ben Antigonus gives a different one. They're not arguing. Or the possibility is that Rabbi Hanania ben Antigonus is machmir and says that even if they are not so dark and even if they're not so black, the leaves, if you can pull them out with the leaves, that's still considered to be that it's growing. And therefore Rabbi Hanania ben Antigonus is machmir over here. So he says whatever is true of a shishit going into the shvi'it is also true of a Shvi'it going into the Shminit. But then it says that if they went from Shvi'it into Shminit, they are Mutarim. Lememra, what do you conclude from this? That Gedulei Heter, Malin Ete Isur. The way that Rabbi Hanania ben Antigonus says is that if the Shminit stuff grows, it's Mutar. That means that it's able to create heter by overriding the isur from the shvi'it. The Gemara answers, v'dilma b'meduchanim. Maybe they are crushed. There are two ways that the Rishonim explained that they're crushed over here. The onions were crushed, like the Ran says it over here. Rashi says something similar. The Ran says that they crushed the onion before they planted it. And then they planted the onion. So he says that that piece of onion is a davar garua. It's not a significant item. It's not really any car anymore because he crushed it. But despite the fact that it was crushed, it successfully grew. So over there, we talk about the gidulim overriding the ikar, because the ikar is not your typical ikar. There's not an ikar that has significance to it. Therefore, the gidulim are able to override it. That's the way the Ran explains. The Rosh explains it differently. And David, this goes to your question from before. The Rosh says over here, kagon shedarchan v'irvan yachad. He crushed them and then mixed them up. Hagdolim v'haikar. That which grew with the ikar. Ubetelim b'shishim. Kishar Isurim, Shibitarah. And now they're Batel Bishishim, like other Isurim. Ava Belo Dicha, when you don't have them mixed together, Lo Chashvin Alehu Mu'uravin. We don't consider them to be Mu'uravim, and since they're not Mu'uravim, they're not Batel. That goes to your question before. Why don't we just say that they're not Mu'urav, and therefore there is no Bitul over here? And that's exactly what the Rosh says. That the case where they're still intact, the Ikar and the Gidulim are intact, there's no Bitul over here, because there's no Iruv. There's no mixing. On the other hand, when you're meducha, means that they were crushed and mixed together. Literally mixed together. In that case, you can talk about bitul because now they're indistinguishable parts. You can no longer identify the ikar separately from the gidul. And so therefore, it's not considered to be bitul. So that's the Rosh. Again, the Shitato. The Rosh Shitato says the whole question of the Gemara here is how significant is the gidul versus how significant is the ikar? That we can say they're not mi'urav or they are mi'urav. So now, what the Rosh is suggesting, according to this Gemara's answer, is that they're not mu'urav, and they are not mevatel each other. The only time they're mevatel each other is when they're crushed and put together. That's when they're mevatel each other. But otherwise, we wouldn't say that they are mevatel each other. Now, this also helps to solve a huge problem in this Gemara, which is that the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Hanani ben Antigonus, the same way they are sur, they are mutar. But that's not really an equation of equivalence. And that's already noted by the Rosh himself. The Rosh says, "Haike negdam, lav b'shaveh lahem mamash." It's not exactly an equal case. Why? Dilu gidulei isur osrim b'koshu. A gidul that grows the isur, even the smallest amount, makes the whole thing asur. Ugidulei heter ain't a materin el berov. But gidulei heter, not a koshu of heter, doesn't help you. It only helps you if it's a rove of heter that overrides the ikar. So when the Mishnah over here says, "Kenegdan," you can't talk about some case of equivalence. It's not really equivalent. In one case, we're talking about koshu visur. In the other case, we're talking about a rove of heter. And the Rosh says, ain't okanami. We're not making a comparison of equivalence in shiur. We're just saying you the same din will apply, that the gidulim will have an impact on the ikar, both in shminit as well as in shvi'it. So that's the way the Rosh, first of all, acknowledges there's a problem. And that's how he deals with the irbuv here, with the mixing versus the non-mixing, as to what the case of Meducha is. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot brings another scenario, and the Rosh Mishantz says that the second half of the Mishnah is talking about the same case as the first half. The first half of the Mishnah is talking about a case where it went from Shishit into Shvi'it. So you know what happened? The Shishit was the Ikar. The Ikar was Beheter from the Shishit. Then it went into Shvi'it, and the Shvi'it grew a Koshu and makes it all Asur. Then they were planted again in the Shminit. They were planted in the eighth year, and it grew a koshu of heter now. So what the Rosh Mishnah says is that that koshu of heter is sufficient to wipe out the koshu of isur that came in the shvi'it. And he says that it is equivalent now, because just like in the shvi'it, the koshu makes it asur, so too in the shminit, the koshu will make it heter, because the ikar from the shishit is still there. So the ikar of heter is there. A koshu of shvi'it makes it asur, but a koshu of shminit now helps you to wipe out the koshu of shvi'it, and now you go back to being heter. And that's how the Rosh Mishantz deals with this problem of saying that it's not really equivalent. He says it is equivalent because you thought the case of Shminit was a case where it was grown in Shvi'it and then he planted and it grew again on the Shminit. That's wrong. It's a continuation of the first case. Grew in the sixth year, grew again in the seventh year, and then grew again in the eighth year. So that's how he solves that problem. The Ran over here says that the case is a case that is equivalent. But he says here, Mishum. Since in this addition of the heter and the leaves it overrides the Ikar, Amura Ben, therefore it's Mivatelet. So what the Ron says is that a little bit of Heter, because we're talking about the leaves themselves, not the Ikar. The leaves themselves, the Heter, is sufficient to override the Isur in the leaf. The leaf's Isur that comes from the Ikar can be overridden by the Koshu of Heter that have the Gidulim that are found in this leaf. And then these leaves that grow, that little amount that they grew now, brings the Heter to the level where it's going to override. And so he says that we're at that point in the growth where a little more, that little extra, brings it to the point where the Gidulim override. And so based on that, the Ron says it is a case of equivalence, that a Koshu would make it Asur, and a Koshu will make it Mutar. The Tosafot over here asks the basic question, which is that we know that Shvit is not Oser B'Koshu. We find many instances in Shas where that's not the case. And therefore, the Tosafot wants to explain all these cases of Shemitah here slightly differently than others, which is that the case is not a case where it grew in the Shishit and then stayed in the ground to the Shvivit and then grew a little more. It's Oser B'Koshu, but rather it's a case where it was planted in the Shishit. He picked it, and then he replanted it during the Shvi'it. And therefore, by replanting it then during the Shvi'it, that's what creates the Isur over here, because it's not just the Koshu. The whole replanting during the Shvi'it is what generates the problem here. It's not simply that you have Shishit that has a Gidul of Shvi'it on top of it, but it's rather an item that has significant growth during Shvi'it because it was replanted during the Shvi'it. The Chayim of Feish Aram, the Hocha Mayri, Batzal Shenekar B'Shishit, was uprooted in the Shishit, V'nit'a B'Shvi'it, and then was replanted on the Shvi'it. Gave and chose Shif Mashu, Nesar Kulo, Kamo Kilaya Kerem. And therefore it's Asur B'Koshu, because like Kilaya Kerem, because that's different. That's not something that stayed in the ground and continued to grow, but it's rather it's something that was planted. So as the Rashbo explains in the Shita of Tosavot, Mshum Hachi, Kevin Shinasiti Surbi Adayim, B'Tchila Nitiato, since there's Nisur B'Adayim when you plant it again on the Shvi'it, Gazrua Lav Asrua B'Tosefet Koshu, therefore they made the Isur of Tosefet Koshu. So even though generally Shvi'it doesn't have a din of Tosefet Koshu, in this case, where you uprooted in the Shishit, then replanted in the Shvi'it, it does have an Isur B'Koshu because of the Nitiyah and the violation of the Isur B'Adayim of planting on Shvi'it. As he points out, similar to Kilayim, where if you planted it and it was Kilayim in the beginning, even with Hashrusha, just rooting is enough to make it completely Asur. On the other hand, if it grew Beheter and then the Kilayim only entered the picture afterwards, then you need it to be 200 to 1 or more than 1 to 200 of Isur that grew afterwards, and it will make it Asur. So the threshold for Isur is much lower when you are starting out the thing be Isur and you are be a daim creating the union of the Isur. And therefore it's Asur B'Koshu. On the other hand, if it happens after the fact, then it's subject to the regular rules of Bitul. Alright, so now the Gemara says we don't have a conclusion from this. Ella minadad detanyo. Let's learn it out from this braita. Ha minakesh imakuti b'chasiyot. Someone who is generally, the word minakesh means to weed. That means that you're taking out unnecessary plants from the ground in order to allow the other plants to grow. On the other hand, the Ron over here says, "Imlaket alinya terim." It's like a pruning. He's taking off the excess leaves from the item. So the Ron sees it more like pruning versus other Rishonim who see it more like minakesh, which is weeding. But he's doing it with a kuti. B'chasiyot. Chasiyot, we'll see in a second in the Gemara, are items that grow with bulbs, that are items that continue to grow and they don't disappear when you grow them again, like onions, potatoes, garlic, all those types of items, things that we've been talking about until now. Ochel me'en achilat arai. He's allowed to eat from them while he's working. He's allowed to eat with them anything like a snack. Umasran vadai. And he has to take off masro from them, vadai. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, im Yisrael chashud al shvi'it. If you're talking about a person that's chashur al-shvi'it, lo-motzei shvi'it, mutar. Then on motzei shvi'it, it's mutar. So now let's start with the first part of the case, which is the case of minakesh imakuti. It's an individual who's working with the kuti in the field. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of the fact that the kuti doesn't take off masrot. He doesn't take off trumoto masrot from his tevel. So what did he do? He had last year's crop. He never took off anything from it, trumoto masrot, because he planned on replanting it. So since he planned on replanting it, he puts it in the ground, and now it grows again. But the item that he put in the ground was tevel. Now, if it's tevel, how can you eat from it? Because it's chayav in trumoto masrot. And once it's tevel, you can no longer eat trumoto masrot from it. The din is, with regards to trumoto masrot, as long as the item is yet to reach the point of kri or digun, then we say that you can eat an achilat arai. You can have a snack from it, but you can't have an achilat keva. Once it already becomes chayav in shumot masrot, that you had digun and a kri, you piled it up and you harvested and processed it, then at that point in time it becomes chayav in shumot masrot, and you can't even eat achilat arai from it. So this individual took the harvest from last year and now replanted it in the ground. So he's basically taking things that are chayav in tevel and planted them in the ground. So the worker over here, we're allowing this worker to eat from these items, achilat arai, even though they're already chayav in trumot umasrot. And we see they're chayav in trumot umasrot because we say over here, umasran vadai, that after you pick them, you have to take off trumot umasrot vadai, because we assume that this kuti does not take off trumot umasrot. So how is he able to eat from them arai? So over here, the Ran gives two reasons. One possibility is, kevin de maser didumi de rabbanan. Oh, maser yarak. Anything to do with a vegetable, maser of a vegetable is only midra banan anyway. So, we don't worry about this case where he's taking last year's stuff that's tevel and putting it into the ground. Va'od, the cave of the kimlon b'hai kutish lo iser. We know this guy didn't take off masrot for sure. Kritani masrim vadai. Mistama lo bagli de goren. It's a probably that they never reached the point of goren where they really became chayab in trumot and masrot. He's eating it out in the field when he's working there. Question of why he's eating it on the field is not clear, because he's not technically entitled to eat it, but he's a poel that's working in the field, but he's a minakesh. A minakesh is not entitled to get food while he's working. Nevertheless, it seems that the guy gave him permission, or for whatever reason, the poel, as part of his job, gets to eat them. Now, do we allow him to eat achilat arai? Because this stuff is tevel, and stuff that was never had trumot masrot taken off of it. The answer is yes, we do let him do it, for one of two reasons. Either because the maser is only midrabanan, and therefore we don't worry about the fact that the Nachri didn't take off a trumot masrot. We just assume it's a safek derabanan lekula, and whatever he planted is fine, and then he can eat it. Or, the Ran says, maybe that this guy didn't take off trumot masrot. But he didn't take off trumot masrot because it never reached the point of digun, because he planted them before he processed them and piled them up. So if that's the case, they never reached the point of chiyuv of trumot masrot. And therefore when he replanted them, we don't worry about that tevel, because it's tevel, like the continuation of the tevel before, that you can eat from them arai, because they never reached the point of digun or kris. And he has to take off masran from them, because we assume the kuti doesn't take them off. Tosafot says something interesting over here. Why are we talking about a poel that is together with the kuti? He says that this is a sociological thing, which is that Jews didn't usually hang out with kutim. And since they didn't hang out with kutim, the only way they're going to be hanging out with kutim is if he's working for him. So the instance where you have this case is a case where there's a Jewish worker or laborer that's working for the kuti. But socially, they wouldn't get together, and therefore the case wouldn't come up. But the case that can't come up is the case of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Im Yisrael Chashud HaShvit, if it's Israel, it's Chashud HaShvit. So now, what are we worried about? That he has bulbs that were left over from the Shvit, and now it's the Motzei Shvit, and he's planting them. So now, you're working with him in Motzei Shvit, are you allowed to eat from those in the Motzei Shvit? Are you allowed to eat from these items? Or are these items, Peirot Shvit, that were planted in Motzei Shvit, and now you have a problem? He says mutar. The Motzei Shvit are there mutar because, as the Ran says here, this is the Shitato, as we mentioned before, that he can eat the leaves on the Shminit because the ones that grew on the Shminit, vadai gidulam rabim alikar isura mu'raben. They definitely, whatever grew in the Shminit, overwhelmed whatever grew before that in the Shvit that came out of the ikar that was asur. So therefore, the leaves for sure are heter, and therefore you can eat them on Motzei Shvit. Lememra. What does that show you? The gidulei heter malin et ha'isur. The gidulim, the leaves that grow in the shminit, override the ikar from the shvit, and we don't worry about the ikar from the shvit anymore. So if that's the case, you see that the leaves, the gidulim, are mevatel the ikar. Where it says, v'dilma b'davar shezarokala. How do you know what we're talking about here? Maybe it's a case here where you're talking about items that are planted, where the seed disappears. Whatever you plant is no longer there afterwards. Where it says, how can you say that? Hatanya, elohen achasiot. What is the definition of chasiot? Gagon alof, hashum, v'abitzalim. These are items that have a bulb, or have an item, a part that you, she'en zarokala, that when you plant them, they remain intact. The Gemara says, well, let's answer like we did with the previous Mishnah. The dilma v'duchanim. Maybe they're crushed over here. So whether that means crushed, like the rosh, which means that they're mixed up, or does that mean crushed, like the Ran says, or Tosavot says, that they planted the crushed piece. Can't say that. Why? Chashud al shvit, ktani. This guy's chashud al shvit. So now that can mean one of two things. Either he's a chashud al shvit and he doesn't care about making things into heter, so he's not going to crush them to make him into heter because he's kashrut al shvit. He doesn't care about the isur. Or we have a principle in the Gemara and other places. The Gemara talks about the fact that someone who's kashrut al shvit will not expend effort to fix the item up because he might get caught. And if he gets caught, then he lost everything. So it's one thing to take the fruits and they're kashrut al shvit, and then if the rabbanon catch him, he loses that fruit. Okay, what's the big deal? But if he puts in all the effort to crush them and to work them and then they find out that it's shvit, he's going to lose everything. So he's not going to put in the effort to crush them. So for one of those two reasons, if he's a chashud al shvit, he's not going to crush the item. V'dilba and b'tarovet. This is really the question that we asked on the first proof that the Gemara brought. How do you know we're talking about something that's growing in the ground? How come it may be a case of tarovet? You have items from the shvit and you have items from shminit and they got mixed together. And now you want to know what the din is. How do you know what has to do with something that was in the ground that grew? That it was, grew on the Shvit, and now it's planted again on the Shvit, and it's growing again? It's a very easy answer. In our case here, it's an easy answer, because it says, I'm in a kesh ktani. Over here, it says that he's weeding the field. He's picking them out of the field. So we know they're in the ground in this case. That wasn't so simple in the Braita that we brought before, because the Braita before didn't have him working the ground, and that's why we had to deal with the question of how do they know that it wasn't a case of tarovet. Gemara says, well, this is a strong proof that Gidulim override the Ikar, and therefore, Lema Tavi Tiyufte, the Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan came at the end of yesterday's daf. We had Amar Rabbi Bar and Rabbi Yochanan, Yaldash Sivchav Zkeina, Uba Peirot, Afo Pisho Sifa Matai Masur. So we saw over there that the Peirot that already existed on the branch that you grafted, they remain Asur, even though Heter grows on top of them. That was Rabbi Yochanan. And we had Rabbi Yonatan, which was Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan Batsal. It originally grew in the kerem, and then the kerem is removed. Even though it continues to grow behet there, the ikar remains asur. So you have two memrot that say that the gidulim don't override the ikar. Yet, here we have a braita, which clearly says that the gidulim override the ikar. So it should be a strong refutation of their position. So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, shanya shvi'it. Shvi'it is different. Hovi sura ayude karka. Since the Isur of Shvit comes from the ground, so the fact that the Shvitata Karka is what creates the Isur, interacting with the ground during the Shvit, or things that grow out of the ground in the Shvit, that is the problem. So therefore, their bitul is also Yedei Karka. Therefore, when you plant them, it has an exaggerated effect. The growth, we give it more power, because karka is the main factor here. So just like by isur, the karka is the impetus for making it asur. So to over here, the gidulim that grow in the shvinit, which grow from the karka, that's a reason to be mevatel the ikar. The karka could override that. So because of that, shvit is, it's a unique case where karka plays such a pivotal role that it can make it asur, but it also can make it mutar. It can be mevatel it. And so what does it mean, isura yudei karka? Either by the shvit, the Isur is generated through the Karka and not through time. As opposed to Orla, Kilea, Kerem, which are time-bound Isurim. Over here, the Isur is generated by the Karka, not by time. Or, like we said here, that by Shemitah, Shavtar, Shabbat Lashem, means that the Karka itself is Asura Ba'avuda. And so the Isur that derives from it is an Isur that's connected to the Isur of Avodata Karka. Or, the Rosh over here says something interesting, which is, that while it's still attached to the ground, the status of the item switches from heter to isur, because it goes from the sixth year to the seventh year on its own. It all happens on its own. They get mixed up without any human intervention. They're considered to be mixed, and therefore the heter can override the isur over here. Aval, orla v'kilaya keren. If you look at orla and kilaya keren, she'ev sharlit arev yachad isur. Over there, they can have the isur can never be mixed together v'heter atzmo michubar below masse yedei adam. They can't be mixed together unless there's human intervention. Kagon borla yedei sivcha b'zakena, case where they grafted it. Or if he removes the kerem, that removes the isur. Then we don't consider them to be mixed. It's as if you're trying to be mevatel the isur biyadayim. Because therefore, in Gidulim, Malim et Ha'ikar. And therefore, the Gidulim are not Malim et Ha'ikar. And that's what the Rosh sees as the Iker difference between the Shvi'it and the other items. Not the Karkal is just a Siman. It's not the reason, but a Siman that this Easter happens by itself. It switches between Easter and Heter to Easter by itself. And therefore, they're considered to be mixed up. On the other hand, by all the other cases of Kilai Kerem and by Orla, the mixing only happens with human intervention. And since it only happens with human intervention, that means that the Easter and Heter are deemed to be separate and distinct items, and therefore they do not wipe each other out. And that will be the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan over here. Hare Maser, Disro Yede Karka. What about Maser? Maser is also an Easter that comes in the car. You grow something, you're Chayav in Shumot and Masrot. And the growth of the item is what generates the Easter. How do you know that? Because if you take a seed that already had Shumot and Masrot separated from it, and you plant it, it grows again. When it grows again, then you're Chayav in Shumot and Masrot. Ve'en betelo tola yedei karka, but it's not betelo yedei karka, the Tanya. Litra maser, tevel, you have maser that is tevel. Maser that's tevel, how is maser tevel? Maser was already taken off, that's maser rishon. So what is maser rishon tevel? Means that trumat maser was yet to be removed from it. So this is maser rishon that still has the trumat maser inside of it. Shazara bekarka, he plants it. Vishbicha, and it grew. Harihika eser litrin, and now it's 10. It's 10 times the amount that he had put in. Chayavet b'maser. He's chayavet maser u'bishvi'it and shvi'it. Now whether that's in a single case, he's both chayavet maser and shvi'it, means that we're giving a chumrah from the shnei tzadim, that if it grew in the shishit and also grew in the shvi'it, we give the chumrah to both sides, that it's both chayavet maser and in shmi'tah. That's one possibility. Or the possibility is depending on the year. If it's a shmi'tah year, then there are so mishum shvi'it. If it's a year of masrot, then they still have a din of maser. And the maser that you're being mafrish over here, according to the Ran, is trumat maser. We say they're chayavet maser, means they're chayav in trumat maser. Va'oto litra, the original litra, maser aleh mimakom acher, lefi acheshbon. He has to take off from that separately from the remainder, because the assumption is that the ikar stands alone. And since the ikar stands alone, it's really chayav in maser mi do'oraito. And since it's chayav midoraita, you have to separate out from that separately. Whereas the other 9 litrot, which grew afterwards, are really not chayav. But midrabanan were mechayev you. And since they're mechayev you midrabanan, because they're not batel to the ikar, on that end, they're not mevatel to the ikar, so they stand alone and you're chayav midrabanan. If you're chayav midrabanan, you take off to the trumat maser from another location. And the reason you have to be mafrish from makom acher, as the Ran says, is because if you did it from this internally, it would have a mixture of Ikar and Gidulim, which do not have the same level of Chiyuv. Therefore, we make you take off from somewhere else to deal with the Gidulim separately from the Ikar. That's one possibility. The other way to explain the difference is that the stuff that grew now requires both Masrot and Trumat Maser to be taken off of it. The one litra only requires Trumat Maser to be taken off of it. And that's the difference, why you have to separate them out separately. The way the Rosh explains it over here, Chayevet b'maser means chayevet and trumot and masrot from scratch, that it's full tevel, and you have to be mafrish trumot and masrot from everything. Now, with regards to the 9 litrot, that makes sense, because these are new items, and therefore they should be tevel. On the other hand, with regards to the 1 litra that was put in beforehand, that already had trumot and masrot mufrash from it, it was only tevel to trumat maser. So what the Rosh says is that's a chumrah midrabanan. Chumrah midrabanan imposes that you have to be mafrish trumot and masrot again, from the litra achat, because of the fact that it went in together with the other 9 litrot that were in the ground. But midoraita, it still is maser rishonin, needs trumat maser to be removed from it, because the ikar was maser rishon that was tevel for trumat maser, and so midoraita, you still have to be mafrish trumat maser from it. So that shows you that even though the gidulin are tevel legamre, they don't impact midoraita on the ikar, which remains tevel the trumat maser, and not overwhelmed by the gidulim to make it into tevel from scratch. You are mafrish midrabanan, but that's not a change in the status midoraito. But what you see over there is that the ikar and the gidulim have a separate existence, that they're able to be independent entities, and the gidulim are not mevatel the ikar. The ikar has its own din, and the gidulim have their own din. So you see here that even though maser is a product of the karka, and that's what makes it asur, nevertheless, it's not batel when it grows out of the karka. Gemara says that's not the case. Amrei maser digunu deka garim le. What makes you chayav in shumot maserot is not the growing, rather the digun. It's putting it into a kri. It's putting it into a end of the process and piling it up. That's what brings it to the point of chiyuv, chumot, and masrot. So it's not that the chiyuv derives from the karka. It's true that when you plant something now and it grows again, that it will be chayav in chumot and masrot. But that's not what generates the chiyuv. The chiyuv only comes about once you reach the point of the kri or the digun. So if that's what generates the isur, you can't claim that the isur is generated by the karka. There should have bitul bekarka. So shvit is unique in that sense, that the isur derives from the karka, and therefore the karka can help in the bitul. And then that's why the gidulim over there could override the ikar. But in case of masrot, where the chiyuv does not derive from the karka, but derives from the digun, making it to a payo, finishing up the processing of the item, that's what brings on the chiyuv, chumot, and masrot. Over there, you can't have the karka be mevatelet. And therefore, the gidulim will not override the ikar, and we'll have to look at them as separate entities, and deal with them as separate entities, whatever those implications are. And we discussed them just a second ago, what the implications are. But maser is different than Shemitah. And based on that, we can say that Shemitah is different, and therefore the case that we brought, the bright that we brought by Shemitah, will not be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonatan, because they'll say that's the din of Shemitah. We're talking about other dinim. Shemitah has its own din because of the karka plays such a pivotal role. It can both make it asur, but also can make it into heter. Okay, we're going to stop here by the top line on Nintendo and Alf, and the Gemara will continue to try to search for the answer here as to what is the status of the Gidulim vis-a-vis the Ikar when the Gidulim are of Heter and the Ikar is of Isur.